Pastor Grayson, I want you to stay in the building. Children's church is open, but I want the youth and Pastor Grayson to stay in the sanctuary today. Amen? Amen. Trust and believe, parents, that when I want your youth to stay in the sanctuary with us, it's because the message, all of the messages apply to them, but there's going to be some that they need not miss. Amen? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap for these babies. Amen. Amen. We bless God. I am excited today. The Lord has answered my prayers. Y'all be seated. Be seated. Amen. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about it fast. I've got a pastor's council meeting right after this and a couple other meetings. But I bless God today. Amen. My beautiful daughter and my two grandchildren are in the house. Can we just bless God for that? Amen. Yeah. If don't nothing else go right today, seeing her beautiful face and my grandchildren, that is enough. Amen. And I want to be in. I want you to be in prayer with me because I've been on the phone with all of my children, and I'm decreeing and declaring that all of my children are going to walk back in this building. Amen. All of my grandchildren. And not only that, but I'm decreeing and declaring with you that all of your children is going to walk in this building. And all of your grandchildren are going to walk in this building. Amen. I decree and declare that Satan can have nothing else that belongs to us. Amen. Amen. Super excited to be here this morning. Community. Community. The last words of Christ are the most revealing, and often as a pastor, the most haunting for me. You would think that Christians everywhere who believe in life after death would want to hang on to the last words of Jesus Christ. I can't help but think about him in his last hours. The most awesome intelligence hanging on a tree that he created. Then coming out of a rock that he spoke into existence. Before I go any further, I want to just, would you just give yourselves a hand clap of praise, amen? Some of you are saying, why? Because you didn't have no music and you worshiped anyway, amen? And I remember a time that if you didn't hear no music, you was just hoping for it to be over soon. So what I'm seeing all over the building is a spiritual growth, amen, that is necessary. Because can I just go ahead and tell you, when we go out into the highways and byways to compel these young people to come to Christ, ain't going to be no music for you to dance to. Ain't going to be no music for you to sing. When Satan comes up against you, ain't going to be no keyboard player, ain't going to be no drummer. You're just going to have an experience. You're just going to have a relationship with Jesus, or you will be consumed. Amen? I can't help. I'm going to say this again. I can't help but think about him in his last hours. The most awesome, let me say it again, the most awesome intelligence hanging on a tree that he created. They hung him on a tree that he created. Then coming out of a rock that he spoke into existence. Why is that so powerful? Why is that so mind-blowing to me? Because it exemplifies even the more his love for us. What do you mean? Well, if he created the tree that they hung him on, it only stands logical that he didn't have to let him put him on the tree. If he was powerful enough to call the tree into existence, he was powerful enough to say, I'm not getting on the tree. And ain't nothing that nobody can do about it. He is the Lord. Oh, God. Why does that get you excited? Because he hung on the tree voluntarily for me and you. Oh. So you were supposed to lose your mind right there. He hung on the tree that he created so that you could be here today. Lord, have mercy. He was resurrected and standing erect, having accomplished all that he was sent to earth to do. The grave could not hold him. And the ground from which he created man had to yield its dust to his power once again. It must have been, I'm trying to envision this in my Holy Spirit-filled mind. It must have been a great feeling to be preparing to leave this earth, knowing that you are leaving, having accomplished your mission. Oh, God. Which brings me to question one of the sermon questions today, and it's actually a two-part question. Do you know what your mission is? You can write that one down in your notes. Do you know what your mission is? And are you operating in your purpose and mission? Do you know what your reason for being here is? And are you operating in the reason that he died for you? Oh, Lord. I want you to think about this for a second. If you were to find out that you were going to die tomorrow, are you at peace with the fact that you spent your time in the earth realm doing what you were supposed to do, and as a result, lives were forever changed? Or if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, would you be full of regret knowing that the life that you lived, you squandered, and it was not the life that God intended for you? Let's take it a little deeper. Is it anybody in the building that ever woke up one day just depressed on the strength that you knew you wasn't all you were supposed to be? It wasn't that you was jealous of the people next door. It wasn't that you wanted somebody else's car. It wasn't that you envied how somebody else dressed. It wasn't that you coveted somebody else's relationship. The problem that you woke up with that morning was that you knew that deep down on the inside of you, there was a greater you than what people around you had seen. I hear you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said the reason that this happens is because people are scared to be the best them. We've been failing so much. We just rather stay broke. We just rather stay depressed. We just rather stay suicidal. We just rather stay bipolar. We just rather stay lonely. We just rather stay without than try to be more than what we've ever been before. Could this be the root and the birth of all bitterness in our lives? I got a problem with everybody because simply I have a problem with me. I can't celebrate you. I can't shout for your success. I can't dance when you come up big simply because I have a problem with me. Lord, have mercy. I can't cry when you come up. I can't cry when your baby come out of jail because my baby's still in jail. And I want you to understand that not being the you that you were created to be can cause a bitterness in you, and it will make you hate everything around you. When you know that you're operating, you're not operating in the you that you were called to be. Watch this. I hear you, Holy Ghost. It will push you into being somebody you're not. And since you're operating as somebody you're not, watch this. Ain't nobody impressed. Which puts you in more depression because, you know, you done changed up your whole steed just so that people will like you and compliment you and be down for you. But so now you fake it still don't matter. And it sinks you deeper into depression. But what's amazing is if we could ever understand that God said, I made you fearfully and wonderfully. Can I just go ahead and translate that hood conversation? I made you all that in a bag of chips. You ain't got to fake it to make it. You ain't got to want people to accept you. It don't make no never mind who don't like you, who don't call you, who don't text you back, who don't come to your party. Don't make no never mind, because I put my hand on your life. I'm a little excited this weekend, hey man. 14 years. I know y'all tired of hearing me say it on social media. I'm going to just say it one more time. 14 years. 14 years. I've been free. 14 years. I ain't got high. 14 years. I ain't popped a pistol. 14 years. I've been free of all correctional facilities. I ain't needed a drug rehab. Y'all better talk. Old folk used to say, you can't make me doubt him because I know too much of... How you spent your life after you died. Folk were going to live better on the strength of how you lived before you died. Yet, before his ascension, he spoke a few last words. And I would think that he would have given a great, you know, he had to have given great thought to what he would say near the end of his stay here on earth. Sometimes I think deeply about what my last words to my wife, to my children, my parents, the leadership team, my church family, and I do that for several reasons. I know what it is to say I love you to my wife, just for her to. Let's. I want to say this again. We good. Amen. I stopped because I wanted everybody's attention. It wasn't nothing. Y'all got this twisted. I want you to hear me. I know what it is to say I love you to my wife just for her to squeeze my hand and die seconds later. I know the power of last words. And as calculated and focused as Jesus lived his life here on earth, I suspect he gave deep thought to the last words that he would ever utter. I can't wrap my mind around all the things that must have been on his mind that day. He could have used his last earthly syllables to warn against the pride of life or the deceitfulness of riches. But no, he did not speak a word about those things in his last few sentences. No mention of church building programs, evangelism or outreach programs, deacons and elders boards. No, he didn't even talk about full-time clergy. He looked up to the heaven and said, and you can find it in John chapter 17, verse number 21, that they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Please notice, he didn't mention government. He didn't mention politics, religion, or natural disasters. He didn't mention one word about finances, spiritual gifts, or what songs should really be sung in church on Sunday. The last words that his disciples heard him pray was a prayer for community. A prayer for community. These were the same lips that uttered in Mark chapter 3, verse number 25, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Lord, have mercy. I want you to understand that mission is no match for disunity. Mission is no match for disunity. Do you know what disunity is? Disunity, simply put, is conflict within a group. That's all it is. Conflict. Let me back that thing up. It ain't all it is. That's major. Conflict within a group.
Jesus knew that the mission would not go on if there was constant conflict in the group. In fact, he was the one that told the Pharisees that Beelzebub could never cast out Beelzebub because a house divided against itself cannot stand. I want you to catch this. This is probably the most important segment of this series today. Lord, have mercy. There is a reason, I want you to catch this, there is a reason that an ant, as small as an ant is, can accomplish all that it can. And that's because the ant never works alone. And it never works in disunity. So just like an army of ants, the church must be the church must have a clear focus and a unified objective in achieving its mission on earth. I want you to understand this. When people or groups are all on the same page, working for the same goals and doing the same thing, they are called unified. Lord, have mercy. And when we speak of the word objective, we mean a thing aimed at or for or sought. We're talking about a goal. So if we're looking for a working definition for unified objective, we could define it like this. A unified objective is when a group of people are working for the same goals and doing the same thing to reach that same goal. So let me break this thing down. The Unity Worship Center is a ministry group of people that is on the same page working for the same goals. And to be even more clear, the goal of the Unity Worship Center is to win the lost to Jesus and encourage the saved to go deeper in the things of God than they've ever thought or imagined. Did you hear the goal? Did you hear the goal? The goal is to win the lost to Jesus. The goal is to stop death by overdose. The goal is to stop senseless violence. The goal is to stop racism. And that is not going to happen through a program. That is not going to happen through government funding. That is not going to happen through a prayer vigil where most people who attend don't even know how to pray. If we are going to shut down the gates of hell and tear every demonic kingdom down, we are going to have to introduce the world to Jesus. Huh? We are going to have to teach people about Jesus. We are going to have to disciple people in the things of Jesus. In fact, Jesus even himself said in John chapter 12, verse number 32, "And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." Lord, have mercy. I love how he said it in the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation puts it this way. "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." See, I want you to catch this. It's about his death. Lord, have mercy. You see, this is a death that you are to be excited about. Lord, have mercy. Because this is a death that produced life. He didn't go down and stay down and nothing happened after that. He went down, came up, and then on the strength of him coming up, you can come up too. You should have lost your mind. Oh, God, I feel like preaching in here. Oh, God. It's about his death. Jesus was saying, when I die for the world, for the sinners, for the lost, and they understand that I died for them, even though they was a hot mess times three, that's what's going to draw them to me. That's what's going to make them love me. Y'all don't hear me in here. The reason we love him is not because of the good job, the house, and the car you feel like he gave you. Truth is, you don't need Jesus to get the house, the good job, and the car. You can get that on your own, baby. That's not the reason that you love him. The reason sin that you love him. What is, what was and still is to this day, what attracts you to him and draws you to him is that he died for you and he loved you so much that he died for you. God, have mercy. Have you ever just been in your private time, when you're in your private time and you're thinking about your before Christ days, when you're in a group or one-on-one witnessing, having a witnessing moment, and you begin to think back to when you didn't know him, didn't love him, didn't appreciate him, but he loved you anyway. My God, I'm about to lose my mind. Is there anybody in the building that loves him because he loved you despite you, because he loved you in your failure, because he loved you in your shame, because he loved you in your worst, because he loved you in your mess? He loved you anyway. Oh, God, I don't know about nobody else in here, but I get excited about that, that you loved me when I had nothing to offer you. You loved me when I was dead in my trespass. You loved me anyway. Let me get back to task. Just like the army of ants, the church must have a clear focus and a unified objective in achieving its mission on earth. The last words of Christ give us the key to achieving our mission, and the mission is simply unity. He was preaching unity. Oh, God. What you saying, Pastor? The name of the church that you attend is predicated on the mandate, Lord have mercy, the will, the desire of the King. Oh, Lord. The mission is, was, and always will be unity. I want you to know that every pastor's worst nightmare, it's a headache that only a parent can know, Lord have mercy. You know, hearing one's children arguing and fighting is a sound that brings grief to any real mother or father. Because parents know that this whole world is going to be rough enough on its own. It's going to be full of enemies. We understand that our baby's going to have full, it's going to be plenty haters. You understand what I'm saying to you? The world going to have plenty of disappointments, setbacks, and letdowns, and tearful nights on its own. And God forbid, though, that families fight among their own blood. The very ones who will be the most likely to stand with you when days get and times get crazy in your life. And as a pastor, there is nothing that makes me happier than to see y'all at peace and fellowshipping with one another. I'm never happier than when we're sitting down at that table and everybody's breaking bread and everybody's laughing and everybody's throwing jokes and everybody's getting along and everybody's fellowshipping together. And why am I so happy? Because I know then that you are safe. When you are unified, you're safe. That's why you always hear me say that we have to guard the unity of unity. We have to guard the unity of the community. Can I just go ahead and be real in here? That's why I become watchful of people who come here new and all of a sudden want to shoot shots at what the Lord has built through us for the last 7 years. My eyebrows begin to raise and my face gets a little tense when somebody comes for any one of y'all or any of these ministries that we operate in. Because if it's not done, and I want you to catch this, if it's not done in decency and in order, then it's being done by Satan. You understand? If it ain't decency and order, it's Satan. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about that. Ain't no fence. Ain't no gray line. If it's not done in decency and in order, it's being done by Satan. And as the gatekeeper of this house, as the shepherd of this house, it is my responsibility to guard the unity of unity. But not only is it my responsibility to guard the unity of unity, it is my responsibility to teach you to guard the unity of unity. Let me tell you something, and I don't care who go run tell it. I fired the keyboard player because he was continuing to come up against the unity of unity. Ain't nobody leave. Nobody leave. I fired them. I fired him because he continued to come up against the unity of unity. And get this. And the music was good. And he wasn't costing a whole lot. I got him on a steal. You heard me? And y'all was loving it. Y'all was loving it. I ain't never seen y'all dancing and singing so much in the 7 years we've been here. And people was posting about the praise team that didn't even go to our church. They was watching us on the live talking about that praise team is everything. And I fired him. I fired him. Hold on. Hold on for your clap. Because let you be wrong, I'm going to fire you too. I want you to understand this. This is serious. I'm not playing right now. It might come off like I'm tripping, but I want you to know I love everything in here too much to let cancer spread. I want you to catch this. I fired him because he was coming against my daughters in the Lord. He was keeping conflict going. So off with the head of the wolf. Off with the head of the wolf. After about the fourth phone call, throwing another one of my daughters under the bus, I said, bro, you fired. This ain't for you. This ain't for you. You have a complaining spirit, and it's actually rooted in contention, demonic troublemaking. You ain't for this house. Listen, hold on. I couldn't be concerned that y'all was enjoying the sound. I don't care nothing about that. I love to look around and see y'all, but at the expense of your life, your spiritual life, I don't care nothing about that. I couldn't be quiet because the church had started to grow. Because I understood and understand that cancer spreads literally and figuratively. And just like when doctors find cancer in the body, they don't say, we just going to leave it there and watch it for a minute. No. Hey, Pastor, have I grown up there? Because you know there was a time I would have sat through the mess. I would have sat through the foolishness, the buffoonery. I would have sat back because everybody was happy. Everybody was satisfied. Everybody was pleased. And he was cheap. I would have sat back and chilled. But every now and again, Lord have mercy. You begin to grow into another level, into another dimension. And what used to be okay can never be okay again. You understand what I'm saying to you? I want you to hear this. And so, they don't say let's watch it. They don't have to watch it because they know what cancer do. It spreads. And church, and I want you to catch this because watch this. And as I was working on this, the Holy Ghost said, tell them, I'm talking about the church, but some of you know this for your personal lives. Watch this. And church cancer spreads like this. Somebody expresses their issue with someone else to someone else. Not the person they got issue with. They spread who they got issue with to somebody else. Now, here's the problem. You didn't have no problem with the problem they had with the person they had issue with. You wasn't paying the person they had issue with no type of attention. Until the hater put the seed in your head. I want you to catch this. It's three types. Lord, have mercy. I want you to catch this. And church cancer spreads like this. I want you to get this. They don't just tell it to anyone. There's three types of people groups in the church that they'll step to. One will be me. Because I'm the pastor, and I have the power to give them what they want concerning the person that they have the issue with. And the other type of person is who they think has my ear, who they think has influence with me. Because they figure that if they can influence the one who has influence with me, then that person will influence me for them. Now, hear me in here. This is deep. Watch this. And the third type of person... that they shoot their venomous shot at is the weak links in the church. Mm-hmm. The weak links, the gossipers, the complainers, the people that's in church but not in Jesus. And they try them because they are banking that their spiritual immaturity will operate in their favor by causing demonic church commotion. This right here is real. It has an agenda, and its agenda is to destroy the mission. That's why, catch this now, I'm putting everybody on notice. That's why we can no longer allow the weak links to sit in here and just be weak links. It's time for the weak links to be discipled. I want you to hear me and hear me good. If you are not here to grow in God and be used by God, then you are evicted. You are evicted. If you are not here to grow in God and be used by God, you are evicted. Pastor, you keep on saying that. Watch me show you. Wrong flyer. Daughter of mine. If you refuse to operate in unity and in love and be trained and have a desire to see the captive set free, then you are evicted. We have enough pretty churches in the city of Lexington. We have enough dead churches in the city of Lexington. The kingdom of God was never meant to be pretty, nor was it ever meant to be weak or dead. The kingdom of God and the true churches of God are instruments of power, bona fide kingdom soldiers with the mentality that says, for God I live and for God I die. This is not a game. Do you hear me in here? This is not a game. This is not a joke. This is not the hookup spot. This is not where you come for good music and a cheesy message. This is the house of the living God. And if you are not on board, if you are not with our agenda, then you can make your way to the car right now and consider yourself evicted. It's time to separate the wheat from the tare. The problem with the tare is that it grows up looking like wheat, and we accept it as wheat. And then the next thing you know, that tare that has infiltrated the home of the wheat has now choked the wheat out, and the wheat does not have all the potential that it once had. It's time to stop playing. There will be no more pettiness in this house. There will be no more hating in this house. There will be no more childlike antics in this house. This will be a house of prayer. This will be a house of breakthrough. This will be a house of real worship. This will be a house of another chance. This will be a house where healing happens. This will be a house where signs, miracles, and wonders go down. This will be a church on mission. I need you to understand. I need you to understand that we have to be unified, because the wolf can take any one of you when you're not unified. Thank you, baby. The wolf can take any one of you when you're not unified with your church, when your thinking begins to stray you away from the fold. Mm-hmm. But if we are all together in here, if we are all unified, then even the strongest lion will think twice about ever trying to devour us. Listen to me. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Did you catch that? Your great enemy. He's not weak. He's not a punk. He's not, watch this. And he's one thing that most people in church ain't, and that is focused. And the one thing that any good shepherd knows is that isolation brings death,
But two can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. So we must stay unified. Got some things I want to show you. Got some dates. Got some things I want to say to you. First of all, everything is going in realignment. The Unity Worship Center, as you know it, will no longer function as it has. We are no longer chasing people down to become members. When you preach and teach the truth, folks should chase the truth. And the problem in times past for the Unity Worship Center is we have been thirsty. We've been so worried about budget. We've been so worried about keeping the lights on that we've put up with just about everything. The Lord spoke to me, been speaking to me all week long. He said, my church is not a band of beggars. He said, did I not tell you that you was once young and you're now old, and the two things that you've never seen is the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread? I want you to understand, I love you, but I'm not afraid to lose you. There's too much on the line. There's too much on the line. We wasn't faking the street. We ain't going to be faking the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying to you? So here's what you're going to need. Because I want everybody on one accord. I need you with a New King James Version Bible or the New Living Translation Bible. Whichever one works for you. New King James Version or the New Living Translation Bible. You ain't going to tell me what Bible I can read. Yes, I am. Here's the thing. It's not for control. I want you to catch this. I want us to all be reading one of these two versions because it keeps us on what? One accord. There's power when the people are on one accord. I want you to get a notebook. I got one at the house. No, there might be demons swirling around in your house. I want this to be an anointed notebook so that it can hold. You know the difference between a reader and a studier? A notebook. Here is the blessing of coming to the Unity Worship Center. Pastor Gross, would you please stand up? Pastor Grayson, would you please stand up? Spiritual Chocolate, come on over here. Pastor Lyons, look around. Raise your hand, pastors. Larissa, put your hand in the air. Stand up, Larissa. Minister Larissa, stand up. You are without excuse. All you have to do is ask us whatever you need to know. And we will email you back. We will text you back. We will call you back. We want to know what you need to know so that you can be all that you're supposed to be. You understand what I'm saying to you? You are without excuse in this house. I do not want you to come to this church if you do not mean to be serious about the things of God. Waste your time somewhere else. You understand what I'm saying to you? This isn't on the board, but we are starting something called the X-Men Ministries. Can I just be very candid about this ministry? I'm talking about your ex. I'm talking about your ex-prostitutes. I'm talking about your ex-strippers. I'm talking about your ex-drug dealers. I'm talking about your ex-drug addicts, alcoholics, woman beaters, fornicators, adulterers. Everything that you, if you got an X next to it, I need you. Because you are who are going to go out and grab the harvest. Here's the kick to that. Everybody got an X. Now I want you to hear this. You will not go out and witness until you've been properly trained. I don't want you going out somewhere and getting yourself hurt, cussed out, or walk away from a conversation not knowing if you should be saved by the blood of the Lamb. You have to study to know yourself, to show yourself approved unto God, and a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you will be trained to be in the X-Men Ministries. If you don't want to read your Bible, if you don't want to study the word, don't be telling people you come to this church. I have to put up with a whole lot of so-called deep people that know absolutely nothing about what they're talking about. And if you come off like acting like you know more than what you do, I'm going to humble you. I will humble you because I love you. If I let you just walk around here and say any old thing and claim any old thing, that means I am your pimp and not your pastor. And we have too many pimps in the pulpit. Now, listen to me. Because we are realizing, I'm telling you something. What are you doing, Pastor? We're getting ready to take the city. That's what we're doing. That's why I wanted the young people to stay in here. I want you to go. You hear me, China? I want you to walk into your school and be what's called dunamis. That's Greek for dynamite. I want when you walk into your classroom, nothing should stay the same because of the word of God radiating so deep down on the inside of you. You, Maya, Malaysia, and all of you. You understand what I'm saying? All my babies up here. Y'all got kids talking about suicide in the eighth grade. You got kids getting high in the sixth grade. You got girls kissing girls in the sixth grade. You are the light in the darkness. No longer. Pastor Grayson, we ain't playing basketball no more. We ain't hanging out no more. They are to learn the word of God. You make it fun so that they stay. And let me just go ahead and say this to you. I picked who I picked because God picked them first. I want them to cause explosions. And you will not be ashamed of the gospel. You will not be. That has nothing to do. You will not be ashamed of the gospel. Do you hear me? How could you be ashamed of someone who died for you? Parents, I ain't saying that you do, but if your parenting is on the scale of raggedy, it must be changed. See, we're going back to old church. Amen. When pastor made house calls. Huh? When teachers know the pastor and mama ain't listening because the only time she come to church is when she wants to trip, but she don't make PTA. So they have to call the pastor. I ain't burying none of our kids. Ain't none of our kids going to overdose. Ain't none of our kids going to get shot. Ain't none of our kids going to prison. Ain't none of our kids joining gangs. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you're offended by what I'm saying, then you need to check your love meter for your child. Our children are not going to be victims. And I want all your kids. Do you hear me? I want all your kids in this church. They shouldn't be all spread out over the city. We can't trust what they're learning somewhere else. Big, pretty building don't mean they're getting powerful education. Give me the next one. So we got some things going on here. NLT Bible, New King James Version. And here's something else. Here's the dates. Everybody in this building is taking a new members class. If you're a member of this church or going to be a member of the church, you got to take a new members class. Why? Because there needs to be order. And ain't nobody in here took it. Not even me. And I started it. November 27th. December 4th, December 11th, and December 18th. Pastor Gross has blessed me to be able to have her Sunday school class. Oh, man, you mean I got to be here by 10:45? We want quality, not quantity. And if you can't make it to church by 10:45 to take this class, you're not really serious about this. If your job tell you to come in at the last minute, you ain't got no argument with them. 10:45, free coffee. How about that? Free coffee and free water, free hot chocolate. Come to class, amen? Watch this, and don't just you come, bring your kids, because they need to know the expectations of the Unity Worship Center as well. Amen? Well, see, and some of this don't feel good to some of you because this is what's called alignment. And I apologize. I'm sorry. It's my fault that I let us just rock any kind of old way. And so now that I'm putting it in alignment, I know I'm going to have some people come up against me. God bless you. Deacons training starts November 8th. Deacons and deaconess training starts November 8th. We are going to make the deacons training virtual. We're going to make, somebody that already said, why can't you make the Sunday school for? Because we be putting stuff on the page. You don't watch it already. No. And God, I know my church. It just beat me down. Why can't he make the Sunday school? Because I want you to show, not me and me, I want you to show the Lord and me that this matters. I want to pull you out of your comfort zone and you show
that this matters. Now watch this. When you show up at 10:45, and many, the most of you don't, but how is it going to feel when you look? You show up at 10:45, you got your free coffee, chocolate, water, whatever, and you look around and go, so everybody cares. I'm a part of something where everybody cares. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. Now, if you got to work, yes, ma'am. Class starts at 10:45. Yeah, class starts at 10:45, so come get your food by 10:30. Be in the sanctuary at 10:45. Amen? Right. Now, like I was saying, when you look around at each other and you go, we're here. Can I just go ahead and be real with you? Can I go ahead and be real? If you show up at 10:55, I'm not mad at you. You trying. You show up at 11, you got to do that class over. At the end of this four-week period, you will have certification that you are a member of the Unity Worship Center. Watch this, because you will never appreciate something you didn't have to work for. Why is this so major? What's the big deal about being a part of this ministry? Because we're going after these kids. And hold up, we're not just going after the kids. See, and that's another mistake that we've been making. We keep on, everybody done put that, and let me tell you something, everybody ain't going after the kids, that's game. Everybody ain't going after the kids, they just know that wins y'all over. We're going after the kids, but we're going after the parents who things have happened in their lives that they found themselves lost, distraught, have no answers, and we want them too. Amen? So that's why this ministry matters, because it has the heart of Jesus. See, how many of you like fake stuff? How many of you like real stuff? Let me see your hands if you like real stuff. Then if you like real stuff, you most definitely ought to want to be where you worship to be real. You mean to tell me that you and I were going to a fake church, but you like real stuff? So we need those 4 days. Deacon training, November 8th. It starts November 8th at 7 p.m. It will be virtual. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Each day. No, 4 days. The four Sundays. There will be a different lesson. Thank you for that. There will be a different lesson taught every Sunday, and it's going to teach you about your church. And let me tell you something. I'm talking. So even my praise team members who have yet to become members over here, right? Because you sit here, if you sing here, you need to know about here. If you play here, you need to know about here. If you do any ministry here, you say here, I'm just here to really bless the church. I believe in this vision and all of that. If you, whatever, be here. Amen. Deacon training. I want to say this real quick. Some churches will tell you that women can't be deacons. This isn't that church. We can biblically prove. Women can be deacons. Deaconesses. It's a Greek word that I don't know, but it's a word for that. But anyway, 7 o'clock. Now, here's something that's going to be, I'm going to say this, is going to make you mad. Female deacons after I got 5 male deacons. I want my men establishing order. I want my men establishing order. I need them to establish order. There's nothing prejudiced, there's nothing sexist, there's nothing like that. I want my men to establish order. The men need to be the most seen thing operating in this church. Men bring men. You understand what I'm saying to you? When women come, they sustain it. They keep it going. But when men come, they grow it. Look around. You see all these men in this church? When has the numbers ever looked like they've looked for the last 3 weeks? When we had 6 men sitting in the building, 4 men sitting in the building. You men are making a difference. I am not minimizing the role of the woman. You guys are awesome, and I thank God, because if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't even be here today. But men grow it, and the women sustain it. Amen? Give me the next one. Give me the next one. Do I got a next one up here? I sent you another text. I don't know if you. The discipleship class. The discipleship class. So the deacon's training will be every other Tuesday from that November 8th Tuesday. And then the discipleship classes will continue as they've already been. I was going to do it every Tuesday, but my schedule doesn't permit that. So your schedule for the discipleship class will be the way that it is. Amen. Now, I want to say this to the deacons. If you feel like you're called to be a deacon, I don't care if you've been to prison. So let me go ahead and bust something up real quick. Let me bust some faulty theology up. There's a part in the Bible that about the deacon, and it said he must be the husband of one wife. And people say, well, if you've been divorced, you can't be a deacon. That's not the Bible. The Bible, what that means, it says you must be the husband of one wife. That means you can't have two or three. You can't have a wife and a woman. You can't have a wife and a side chick or a side him. Because I don't act like y'all don't. You can't have a husband and a boo thing on the side. Help me, Lord. What's the other one? Do I got another one up here, Whitney? Check your phone. I texted you something else. I want you just to holler it out to me. Or was that it? I thought I sent you something else. Okay. So, if you feel that God has called you to be a deacon, I don't care who told you you can't. If God has told you that you've been called to be a deacon or a female deacon, a deaconess, I don't care how somebody else gonna look at us. If God has called you to this office, I want you in this office. Be at that meeting. Amen. Membership, a new membership, get ready for it. And guess what? I gave you a whole month to prepare yourself to be here at 10:45. Some people need better poker faces. That's all I'm saying. I didn't say nothing. I just looked around. Some people need better poker. I gave y'all a whole month to get ready. People sitting here going, you should have gave us a month and a half. Amen? Now, deacons will be ordained in 6 to 8 months. You will be ordained. You will be able to marry, bury, teach Bible study, teach Sunday school, teach. We're no longer letting people. We need to know you know what you're talking about and that you ain't just Googled your whole message. Amen? We are a Christian learning institution because we are in a war. We are in a war. Amen? All right. Stand to your feet. Let's go.